get them? Okay. Aloha, everybody. Aloha mai kakou. Aloha. Thank you. You did it right. I appreciate that. Okay, we'll try it again because you did a good job. Aloha. Excellent. You have a good leader in the front here. My name is Tricia Kehaulani Watson. I am part of the planning team for the Nu'ualoha Stadium District. I want to welcome you all to the public scoping meeting this evening. Let's go to the next one. So we're just the agenda for the evening. I'm just going to do a couple quick introductions to various people. We are going to pule because we're going to have a wonderful meeting. And then I'm going to introduce Chris Kinimaka, who's with DAGS, who's going to talk a little bit about DAGS' role on this project. And then we're going to have Stacy Crawford come up, and he's part of the planning team as well, and he's going to give a little bit of an overview. And then we're going to have Keola Cheng from Wilson Okamoto, who is the lead planner on the EIS. And he's going to explain the EIS process and how the scoping is going to work. I see from our sign-in sheet, we have a number of people signed up for this evening, so this really is your time. This is a formal meeting. It is a formal presentation. We are recording everything that happens during this formal scoping process, this presentation, and your comments. So we'll call you up one at a time, just so we make sure that we have time for everybody who signed up. We're just going to give you 2 minutes to start with. So we have these lovely girls in the front who are going to let you know when you have 30 seconds left. And then when you're Pau, and then we're going to call you up three at a time. So I'm going to call you up. They will not be sitting there, but we're going to line you up three at a time just so we can get through everybody. At the end of that, we will ask if there's anybody who would like to come up and provide comments who didn't indicate so. So even if you didn't mark it on this sign-in sheet, you are absolutely still welcome to get up and give us comments. And then from there, if your 2 minutes was not enough, you will be welcome up again to give us another 2 minutes if you would like to. We will also still be here after. Nobody's rushing you out of here, and we're not rushing out of here. So we will be available at the four stations that you have in the back. So if you'd like to come up and give us more comments there, we're happy to write them down. We won't be recording it at that point, though. So now is the formal time when we are recording. These are also comment sheets that we have in the back. As you see, there is an address that goes directly to Wilson Okamoto. So if you would like to go home, think about it, be inspired, you're welcome to absolutely write your comments and send them into us. The comment period, for those who might not have been notified yet, has actually been extended another 30 days. So it's now a 60-day comment period that runs through November 7th. So we're very, very interested in what you have to say. I'd like to acknowledge just very quickly, we have three elected officials with us tonight. We have Senator Glenn Wakai, who I promise is here. I didn't make that up. He's not, there he is, in the back. And then Representative Romy Cachola. Mr. T, can you stand up for, thank you very much. And then we have Councilwoman Carol Fukunaga also with us this evening. So thank you folks very much for being here. We appreciate it. That was my alarm telling me to take out the blue trash for tomorrow, sorry. First we're gonna have Chris Kinimaka from DAGS to just come up and talk a little bit about DAGS' role on this project. Thank you.
Mahalo, Trish. Aloha. Oh, I'd have to try that again. Aloha. Good evening and welcome. I'm Chris Kinimaka from the State Department of Accounting and General Services. And the first thing I wanted to do is express that the comptroller wishes he could be here. He's very excited about this project, but I'm here instead. And on behalf of all of our state and county partners and agencies, welcome to a new and unique experience that we're all looking forward to tonight. The State Department of Accounting and General Services is here on behalf of the Stadium Authority and the Nu'ualoha Stadium Entertainment District because we're the procurement arm. We help to go through the planning, design, and construction process for a lot of agencies that need our services. But we are here tonight to hear from you. This is a new EIS process. This is a unique meeting where we reach out to you for the first time The public gets to give us input into what we put into the environmental impact statement process. We're very excited to give you this opportunity and to hear what you have to say, because our partnership with you is so that we can move forward together with you all in one piece, as a community, as your neighbor, to give you the best product we can for the state of Hawaii. And so with that, we do welcome your comments, both oral comments that are going to be recorded. Well, we're making sure that we have all kinds of different ways, as Trish said, to communicate with us, whether you send us mailed-in comments, email, or call us. Please do share. We look forward to your ideas, your thoughts, your concerns, and your wishes for what you want to see. So to guide us through tonight's process, I would like to bring Trish back up, who's going to talk to us about our program and move us forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Next, we're going to have Stacy Crawford come up, and he's going to talk a little bit about the project overall.
Thank you, Tricia. Good evening, everybody. My name is Stacy. I'm part of Crawford Architects, the firm that is heading up the master planning and the EIS process for the new Aloha Stadium Entertainment District. We, of course, aren't doing this on our own. We're ably supported by a fantastic team of specialist consultants, particularly Wilson Okamoto here this evening, that is actually doing all the hard yards in the EIS work. And Keola will get up shortly and talk about that process. I'm also ably supported by my colleagues from WT Partnership. Their expertise comes in more fully a little later into this process when we get into the selection of developers that will come in and then be charged with the responsibility for delivering this fantastic project. But before we can bring in developers, before we can design anything, as Chris had mentioned, we need to hear from you. So this evening kicks off the ball to a very, very important process. And I really hope that we are able to capture your thoughts and your concerns this evening, because they're very, very important to us. There'll be several opportunities along the way for input like this, but this is the first chance to make a first impression on us, and we want to make sure that we get the scoping correct for the EIS that's about to happen. Thanks, Terry. There's a slide that really talks about the various master plans. Now, nothing's cooked when you see these three diagrams. They're on the boards behind you. They're really to promote a conversation. They are very, very conceptual in nature. After all, we will not be the design team that's selected to design the stadium. We know how to do stadiums. That's why one of the reasons why we're hired to run this project with respect to our design expertise, but we will not be the designers of this project. However, as part of the EIS process, and to give that process some context, it's been necessary for us to dip our toe in the water and to show conceptually what some of the ideas for the development of the 99-acre Halawa site, which will include a 35,000-seat stadium or thereabouts, plus a whole mixed-use precinct. We have to be able to show some idea for what that might be, to have you to respond to that, for developers ultimately to get their minds around what we expect to see as the final outcome. So we have shown three concepts. The first that Terry has up on the board is basically keeping the stadium in its current location. It'll be a brand new stadium, however, in this instance, selectively demolished and then rebuilt over time, so that nobody has to leave the current stadium and go play elsewhere, and that's not on the cards. But at the end of the day, we're kind of looking and thinking that this might actually be a more economical outcome than building a new stadium elsewhere on the site. That's yet to be tested, yet to be proved, but we're giving the developer and his design team the option, or the imprimatur, to at least explore that. The next option B is probably the more natural response, and that would be that we could construct the new stadium immediately to the west of the existing facility, a little closer to Kamehameha Highway, That would mean that we can continue to play in the current facility, and then when the new facility is open, we move over to the new facility, tear down the old stadium. Finally, in C, it shows a whole new stadium, just like B, immediately to the south of the existing footprint, a little bit further away from the new train station, but still close enough that it would have a very, very dynamic link to that very, very important mode of transportation. But again, it follows the same idea that we could then play in the existing stadium, move over to a new facility, tear the old one down, and then that becomes the opportunity for a new development site. So in all of these schemes, we're promoting the notion that there's a new stadium plus what we term ancillary development, so that we get a good mixture of residential, retail, entertainment, and some office opportunities, as well as some cultural facilities amidst a sporting facility delivered by the new stadium. So we want a true live, work, play environment 365 days a year, so that there'll be plenty of people to do, locals, tourists and other visitors alike, when there isn't necessarily a game going on at the stadium. We'll also be looking very, very strenuously at maintaining all the existing users in the current facility and in the new stadium into the future. So rest assured that everybody that's wondering, will I have a home in this facility in the future? I can categorically tell you yes. What I can't tell you right now is exactly how, because we have to get that input from people like you here this evening. So with that, happy to take questions later at the stations later after the formal presentations and after we hear from you as well. So please, if you have something else that you'd like to add to the conversation on the way out, please do that. To get to the nuts and bolts of our whole process, and again, why we're here tonight, I'd like to introduce my colleague from Wilson Okamoto, Keola Cheng, who will give us a rundown on the EIS process, what to expect from here on out, and a possible timeline. Thanks, Keola.
Thanks, Stacey. I'd like to welcome everyone tonight. Glad that we have such a great turnout. As you guys know, an EIS process, it is a public process, so it's important that the community comes out and, you know, has a voice in what that process ends up disclosing. Next slide, please. Keep going. Okay, so the purpose of this meeting tonight is essentially to provide an overview of the EIS process, discuss the purpose of the EIS preparation notice document, which is currently published and circulating, and also, I guess the primary goal here is to solicit a draft EIS scoping input. Next slide. So getting down to the nuts and bolts of it, like Stacey said, what is an EIS? It is an environmental review and disclosure process required by law. Typically, any action that utilizes state lands or state funds is subject to an environmental review disclosure process, which is an EIS, which is outlined under Chapter 343 of the Hawaii Revised Statutes. So an EIS serves as a vehicle for the disclosure of environmental impacts associated with a proposed action. It is not a permit, nor is it an approval to proceed. Acceptance of that final EIS document simply means that content and processing requirements have been met. Next slide. This project's a little unique. It's not a standard project due to the nature of how it's being presented and the fact that we're seeking public-private partnerships. We have chosen to proceed with preparing a programmatic EIS document. A standard EIS document would assess a static project, you know, specific, like let's say you're building a hotel, you'd have your set densities and everything. But in this case, due to the unique nature of the site here and the various, I guess, levels of development that could be realized, what a programmatic EIS will do is outline the maximum and minimum thresholds for potential development on the site. So the purpose of this programmatic EIS process is to assess and disclose the impacts of the proposed maximum scale of potential development. The programmatic EIS process is, can you please go back? Is intended to essentially maximize interest from prospective developers by allowing them flexibility to do with the site as they please in terms of, you know, creativity, allowing for flexibility from a design, site planning, and programming standpoint. Next slide, Terry, thanks. So what is an EIS preparation notice? It is simply a document that gives notice that an EIS is being prepared. And it provides a brief discussion of the potential environmental impacts of the proposed action and identifies the various technical studies that will be prepared in support of that EIS document. Next slide, Terry. So the infographic over here kind of generally outlines the course of an EIS process. So as mentioned earlier, the EIS process is started off with a publication of an EIS preparation notice in the State Office of Environmental Quality Control's environmental notice. That document is succeeded by a 30-day comment period in which the public is encouraged to provide scoping input on what they feel should be assessed within the draft EIS document. And as Trishan mentioned earlier, we have extended that 30-day comment period to a full 60 days, and that period will end on November 7th of 2019. Pursuant to the requirements of law, a scoping meeting will be held during that 30-day comment period, and that's the meeting that we're all at now. Also during that time span, technical studies will be prepared in support of the EIS document, and contingent upon feedback from the community in regards to identifying other technical studies, those studies will also be commissioned and incorporated within the draft EIS. So once that draft EIS document is prepared, it will then be published in the State of Hawaii Department of Health Environmental Quality Control's environmental notice, and that will be followed by a 45-day comment period in which the public is encouraged to review the document, provide input, and once all those comments are compiled, written responses will be drafted and submitted along with the final EIS document to the State of Hawaii's Department of Health, Office of Environmental Quality Control. So this is just a screenshot of the September 8th issue of the environmental notice in which notice of the availability of the EIS preparation notice was circulated. Next page. So as I spoke about earlier, the EIS scoping period starts when the EISPN was published, which was on September 8th. The scoping period is intended to assist with determining what should be included or addressed in the draft EIS. So under the new rules, which were recently adopted back in August, the law requires that a public scoping meeting be held within the 30-day comment period. And as referenced earlier, the 30-day scoping period has been extended to a full 60 days, ending on November 7th. Next slide, Terry. So this slide over here kind of outlines the general content of an EIS. There are four main components to that document. The first is a general description of the proposed action's technical, economic, social, cultural, and environmental characteristics, including an outline of the purpose and need of the action, the objectives of that action, and a description of the existing environment, impacts, and mitigation measures associated with the implementation and operation of that action. Also included is a full discussion of relationship of that action to plans, policies, and controls, and lists of permits and approvals that were required to implement that action. Also provided will be a discussion of potential alternatives that could reasonably meet the objectives and goals of that action, as well as a summarization of all the consultation efforts conducted in association with that EIS process. So the list over here generally summarizes the various environmental criteria that are discussed and addressed in the draft EIS, which include but are not limited to climate and climate change, geology, topography, soils, surface waters, groundwater, coastal waters, natural hazards such as natural disasters, flora, fauna, historic and archaeological resources, cultural resources, air quality, noise, visual resources, socioeconomic characteristics, public services and facilities, as well as infrastructure, traffic, and utilities. And in addition, an essential component is a full discussion of secondary and cumulative impacts associated with that action. The various criteria listed above with a consultant's name listed in parentheses indicates various studies that we've identified that will be prepared in support of the EIS process. Next slide. So at this point, we want to get ahead and, you know, get to the raw meat of this meeting, which is contains, you know, the scoping effort. So I'll hand off to Tricia to handle that part.
Yeah, you can, but really this part is to just take comments from you folks. So when you, and I was actually going to speak to that, we really just want you to give us your comments for 2 minutes. So we're not really able to answer. It's not a back and forth at this point. If you have questions, that's why you have a lot of the experts in the back of the room. Is it a question? Like, so that's definitely a question that I think they can take in the back. Right now, really, the primary question we have is what should we be looking at in the draft EIS? So you're absolutely welcome to come up and pose that question, but we're not going to be able to sort of respond to you, but we absolutely have people here who I think if you wanted to follow up either during or after, we'll be here, either way. Okay, so thank you. Okay, so is this their mic over here? Is this on? Okay. Yeah, let's move it up. Just like right here, so they can see the timekeeper. I apologize, I forgot to do our poule, so I'm gonna have Julie, who is lovely, and also your timekeeper, come up very quickly and do a poule for us. Thank you.
E poule kako. E nā kua nauma kua me nā kupuna. Mahalo nui a o ko pākahia pau I kia hui pu ana me ke kaia ulu o aea a me halawa noho'i. E ho'oholo mai ka ia kia halawai me ka lokahi, a me ka ailike, ke puka aku kako mai ke ia halawai mai, e ho ea mai ka I mako I ko kako mau home, he po mali e ko kako apau. Mahalo nui I nga po mai ka I lua aia mako, a e ho mai nga po mai ka I ho aku, e ho mai ka ike, e ho mai ka aka mai, e ho mai ka mau popo pono, e ho mai ka ike pāpā lua, e ho mai ka ho umanawa nui, e ho mai ka mana. A mama ua noa.
Okay, so again, so if you can get up to speak, if you want, we're going to call you up. I will give you an option to come up after. And again, you also have things in the back, just to remind you one last time. You have a comment sheet that has all the information you need if you want to send in written comments. You also have this flyer that provides to you all the information you would need to send us comments by email or snail mail. Also on this is the project website, which is nased.hawaii.gov. That also has all the information. And there is an FAQ that we keep. It's a running FAQ. So if you got one a week ago, it may be different than that one already. And this is where we take all your comments. So, sir, like your question about why are we doing it as a P3, if it's not on here already in a response to that, if you want to send that in to us, we're likely to update this regularly with questions like those. Okay, so I'll call you five at a time because we have five seats up there. So the first five speakers we have are Shar Chun Lum, Bruce Lum, Dennis Suzek, and I apologize if I'm getting any of these wrong. I'm sorry? Suzuki, sorry. John, I couldn't tell, it looked like Suzek. Okay, I apologize, Suzuki. John Kawamoto, and Claire Tamamoto. So those are our first five.
Aloha, Trish, and thank you for this opportunity. I have a question about concerns about, especially since you're actually going to have more things in this new development. Traffic is always a problem, and would like to know what solutions there might be to encounter, to take care of the different kinds of traffic that will be coming from the different kinds of activities. The other thing I wanted to say, thank you, I guess you're in the new EIS periods of the scoping is needed, but when your draft EIS comes out, will you try to have another scoping meeting even though it's not necessarily required? It is required? Okay, great. So because then the design should be more, a little bit more comprehensive, and so people can make comments about that too. Okay, great. So thank you.
Hi, my name is Bruce Lum. I live here in Halava, right above. Oh, can't hear? Oh, a little further. Okay. You see, I do this a lot. I'm supposed to be the warm-up team, I guess, here for giving comments. So I live in Halava, and I've had quite a few years here observing what goes on in this area and how the area is impacted by the recreation that occurs at Aloha Stadium. So, of course, I'm going to be very concerned about what the impact, well, I'm looking forward to the impact of the traffic on this area being improved so that it doesn't really shut down our neighborhood whenever there are a lot of activities or events here at Aloha Stadium. I'm hoping that the brand new EIS rules that these are all now going to be guided by will provide for a lot better communication about the EIS process to keep the public informed, you know, in a very good iterative fashion. I've been part of at least one EIS where I felt that the communication could have been much better to the community, and that if that had been done, that the taxpayer would pay less money because they take less time to complete the project, and there wouldn't be a lot of back and forth between the public and government about how the project was really proceeding. So I got 30 seconds left, and I think I'll quit right now. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dennis Suzuki. I'm a factory rep for a lot of these items that you see up there. I'm getting tired of government playing around with our money, okay? Okay, first of all, I'd like to talk about their mole mildew. Look at this. The stuff all dropping. Up there, if you pop up in the ceiling, you're in trouble, okay? Secondly, when you do things and you design a program, you gotta make sure the ductwork is tight. It's a lot of extra money to do this. You gotta put in dehumidifiers, because air conditioning like this only keep the place wet. And when you folks go to do this, nothing to dry it because they turn them off. Big problem, okay? Number three, when they build the eaves or the roof line of the building, they have to put a prototype for the eaves so that the water comes out of the building. This is why it's all rusty over here. All the buildings I look at, they don't build a prototype for the builders, okay? Another thing I'm talking about is odor. All the people in the sports field all stink, body odor. You got to put in ozone equipment, but you got to know how to use it into the system. And this is great for the automobile too and the buses if you know how to do it. Another thing is air cleaner. Everything is here is all floating. You have to have it clean, okay? Also, to make it more funny, I also represent a company called Composition Material. I can build a thing 60% cheaper than what people can do it. I represent a big factory who can build it out of foam and concrete. Okay, and this is what they're looking for. But they don't contact me, I'm the factory. We're the biggest in the nation. So they're going on their own, on the side. I'm not gonna pay them a commission. We have the staff engineers who can help them. Just show us the blueprint, we'll help you folks. Because this is Hawaii, I'm a Hawaii boy, I wanna do it. Last but least is things like when you do a building, you have to make sure where the building is located. I don't know if you folks noticed, but get a lot of canals over here. Why? There's a lot of water up here coming down, okay? And things are happening a lot, but the people from the mainland don't know what they're doing. The local guys on the side. You can't do that without tax dollars, okay? We have problem with City Hall, Federal Building, State Capitol, and a lot of the schools. So we're getting problem on using portable window air conditioning. Why? It cannot dehumidify, cannot take out the moisture. Thank you very much.
Thank you. My name is John Kawamoto. I'm a member of Faith Action for Community Equity. but I'm speaking as an individual. Many of you know that about half of Hawaii's residents are struggling financially to afford basic needs because their earnings are not enough to cover Hawaii's high cost of living. These are the people who are a paycheck or two away from homelessness. Housing is typically the highest cost item in a budget. And Hawaii is facing a crisis in the shortage of affordable housing, and it's only getting worse. Hawaii now has the least affordable housing market in the country. You can see evidence of the affordable housing crisis in the homeless population, which has been steadily increasing. There are various reasons for homelessness, but it's largely due to the shortage of affordable housing. State and county agencies have been trying to create enough affordable housing, but development costs are high, and the shortage of affordable housing is great. Furthermore, the population keeps increasing, so the need for affordable housing keeps increasing. State and county agencies have been able to create only a fraction of what is needed. The state and the counties must devote all possible resources, not just from the housing agencies, to develop affordable housing. The site of the new Aloha Stadium can accommodate thousands of affordable homes for the people of Hawaii. It's a great site for affordable housing because it's state land, so there's no cost for it. And the cost of land is a major factor in developing housing. In addition, it's near a rail station, which reduces the need for cars. In fact, the rail project is planning transit-oriented development near the stations along the rail line. The Halawa Area Transit-Oriented Development Plan reports that the community wants affordable housing. Each of the three preliminary concepts for the new Aloha Stadium would have much of the site dedicated to non-stadium uses, such as housing, although not specifically affordable, and retail and entertainment. At least one more preliminary concept should be developed that emphasizes dense, affordable housing with retail and other uses. Affordable housing is one of the top issues that Hawaii's residents are concerned about, second only to traffic. The new Aloha Stadium site can and should contribute to solving Hawaii's affordable housing crisis for the people of Hawaii. Thank you.
Good evening, my name is Claire Tamamoto and I'm the president of the Aia Community Association. We are glad to have this opportunity to speak and to give input on this exciting but sensitive new project. We hope our input can manifest itself into a meaningful redevelopment of our community. This redevelopment does not happen in isolation. It will impact our three vital transportation corridors, Kamehameha Highway, Mauna Loa Road, and H1 Freeway. I'm sure you will hear it over and over. The concern of this community is the increased density with uses such as small businesses and, quote, a hotel in the proposed plans. Currently, the Aloha Stadium occupies a large area with a large parking mass. The stadium is used mostly on the weekends, and the proposed uses would mean a daily use of the property. Less parking spaces to accommodate those users and more traffic and traffic flow in and out of our neighborhood. Attention must be given to exiting the area heading west without going through Aia Town. We understand the emphasis will be on alternative modes of transportation in and out of this area, such as rail, bicycle, and pedestrian. Effort must be made to make these alternative modes of transportation seamless and integrated with each other. For example, bicyclists must be able to use the Pearl Harbor Historic Trail bike path to connect to the rail station. Renewed efforts must be made between intergovernmental agencies to open the Admiral's Boathouse gate to and proper maintenance must be given by all parties involved. Traffic patterns, closing current roadways and converting them into pedestrian walkways should be looked at to alleviate some of the stress on the local traffic. The local community must have access to all of these transit thoroughfares. Open space designations should not be just open space or green space. These designated areas should give an opportunity to our kupunas and our keikis to recreate. Some ideas might be dog runs, parks, tennis courts, mini soccer fields, sand beach volleyball areas, golfing driving ranges, or family gathering picnic areas, grass areas where children can play with their parents in watching. Efforts should also be made to open up the Pearl Harbor recreational areas to kayaking, sailing, rowing, outrigger canoeing, or working on the local Paya'au fish pond. The new activity in the area The new activity in the area with buy-in from the communities as users makes it less likely to have undesirable users in this new areas. The plans call for a smaller stadium. Does that mean we're not going to pursue any large pro sports events that might need larger venues? What do we do with the lack of revenue to the stadium or to the state? The stadium should be positioned as far away from residential areas and closer to the freeway interchanges, even positioned nearer to the Aya Elementary School, which would be desirable because the use time of usage is not the same time. The pedestrian overpass from the Aya Elementary School still can be used, and maybe building the stadium to have an entry right into the stadium from the pedestrian walkway right into the stadium. A buffer of trees and or buildings should be planned between the residents and the stadium. A museum and cultural amenity could be planned together. Mo'olelos or storyboards that pay tribute and document the entire Pearl Harbor area, their livelihood and the practices would be invaluable. Special features highlighting the Halawa, Kala'au, and Aya Akupua'as, I can finally say that word, will also serve as great centers of learning for our children. An educational hub where leeward area schools can come and get hands-on interactive experiences would be beneficial to our keiki. Working together with the university cultural practitioners to develop these miniature Bishop museums would be welcomed by Kama'ainas and Malahinis. Careful thought must be given to the hotel feature. It will add tremendous density. If the hotel's purpose is to service the venue of the Aloha Stadium Entertainment District, it can be smaller in height, limit car access, and promote bus and drop-off and pick-up to the rail and make rail transit accessible. I have a little bit of concern about the private partnership element because I think it's a wild card. The community would like to make sure or get a commitment when these contracts are made that all the effort that people put in to talk about what is brought into our community is held, the private partnerships are held to accountable to them. That's all. Okay, thank you. Sorry, I didn't see that, Paul.
Thank you, Claire. Okay, our next five are going to be Reverend Stephen Costa, Sophia Kim, Brian Toda, Catherine Graham, and Calvin Phu Pham.
Mahalo ki a kua. My life is measured by my love of God, and that in turn is measured by my love for the least of his children. We've had so many reports about the lack of affordable housing. We see the homeless everywhere we go. We have a great opportunity to address that. And I look at the proposed plans, and my heart weeps. How can we squander this incredible opportunity to build affordable housing? It seems like we worship at the altar of the almighty dollar. Where is the kapu aloha? Where is Akua and his love for his Kanaka people in these plans? I pray for those that are in authority, that have the ability to make these decisions to really benefit the Kanaka people of Hawaii'i. I pray that the Ohane, the Holy Spirit, the Ohane Hemulele, will touch their hearts, and they will look at increasing the affordable housing substantially as we move from this project onto revising the Blaisdell Center and the many, many opportunities that will present itself in the near future. Mahalo ki a kua.
Mahalo.
Hi, my name is Sophia Kim, and I'm speaking on behalf of all the swap meet vendors that we have out here in the Aloha Stadium. So we just recently received a letter from the stadium authority stating that the current plan is to keep the swap meet open. But all the vendors, hundreds of vendors, are worried that that might not necessarily be the case depending on how the plan goes or where they're building the new stadium. And just the fact that there is no definitive answer or like feasible alternative locations that the vendors could go if they were to close down the stadium, it just really, it's just ambiguous, you know, and like no one really knows what's gonna happen in the future. Is it gonna be open for 1 year, 2 more years, 3 more years? My parents have been doing business here at Aloha Stadium for 25 years, and my siblings and I literally grew up just on this very ground, and it will affect hundreds of vendors that we still have out here greatly. So I know this is not a question and answer session, but I, as a vendor, and on behalf of all the other vendors that we have here, I just hope that whatever the plan is for the future, that you guys will consider the vendors that we have, because they're so, most of the vendors out here are just immigrants from like Korea, Japan, China, Vietnam, Thailand, wherever. And so there aren't that many necessarily locations or workplaces they could go to find, or you know, just to find places to make a living off of. And just closing down this marketplace will affect all of us. So I just hope that like someone can just give us like definitive answer or how the future plans are gonna go. And if it were to close down, where can we seek alternative locations and how we're supposed to move on from that? Thank you.
Good evening and aloha. My name is Brian Toda. I'm here just as a private citizen. But I also am a civil engineer by trade, so I love this kind of stuff. also, just emotionally, I am a football season ticket holder, and I've been coming to games since I was like 8 years old in the 80s. And this place and UH football means something emotionally to me because it's how I connected with my dad. He's still alive, and it was our greatest connection. And so UH football is more than just the sport to me. It's family, it's connection, it's relationship. And my main concern tonight is that I heard the stadium capacity was just capped at 35,000, and I believe that is too low. I know there are good factors that go involved into picking that number, but I believe that is based on skewed information. From what I've read in past reports, I've heard quotes that UH football only gets 25,000 nowadays. But I feel like that's skewed because you know we just came off of the worst coach in the history of the school, and I believe the current coach is building towards restoring the excitement that we had in the past, and I would hate to see that capped. Numerically, in the past year alone, we've had 5 events that exceeded that 35,000, and none of them were UH football. So just imagine how much more money we're leaving off the table by reducing the number of seats and tickets that we could sell. Also, just logistically, I heard that the number was based on turnstile attendance versus tickets sold, and you can't have 35,000 ticket attendance without more seats, because you have to sell more seats to get that attendance. You're never going to have full attendance, so you're essentially guaranteeing that you're only going to have 31 or 32,000 in attendance by being able to sell only 35,000 seats. Also, just what I wanted to leave with was an example of the Stan Sheriff Center. And, you know, I remember going to games at volleyball games at Clum Gym, and I remember they were going to build the Stan Sheriff Center and only have 4,000 seats. And the argument there was, well, you know, Clum Gym has less than 2,000, and it doesn't even sell out every single game, so, you know, 4,000 should be plenty. But look at it now. You know, look at our volleyball team this year. I sat there at the UH versus UCLA volleyball game, and the pride that I feel that these women represent the state, not only here in Hawaii, but throughout the country. And I looked around at the 8,000 plus families and children and Ohana, and I realized that all of this was only possible because a few strong minds had the vision to see that this was worth it, that this was possible. Like, when you have a vision, it doesn't matter what the current circumstances around you look like. And that's the vision that I see for the stadium. I believe that 35,000 sells us short. I feel like it maintains that status quo of Hawaii just thinking small. And I'm not delusional to think that we could attract the Super Bowl, or perhaps not even the Pro Bowl, but I do believe that we can do more, and I think that we will regret it if we cap. I feel like it's a metaphor for our lives. It's not just the number of seats in the stadium. It's how much do we in Hawaii feel we are worth, and I feel that we are worth more than 35,000 seats. Mahalo.
Good evening. I'm Catherine Graham, and I'm with Faith Action for Community Equity. We have been working for affordable housing for a long time, and this opportunity of redeveloping the Aloha Stadium site is very exciting and an opportunity that we cannot waste. I heard earlier someone referred to this as the Aloha Stadium Entertainment Project. And I would really like it to be called the Aloha Stadium Village, where we have more than the 2,000 affordable housing units that have been proposed. The state says that we are 65,000 affordable housing units short. And I think we could make a good dent into that number here at Aloha Stadium if we think big, like the gentleman before me stated, and if we really make affordable housing a priority. There isn't anybody really at any level of government who has said, yes, this is a priority. And here we have this awesome opportunity to do that, to build more densely. And with the rail station right there, we will not need a lot of cars, so that'll help cut down on the traffic. And I think we can think outside the box. We had an editorial in Sunday's paper that said affordable housing at Aloha Stadium, an opportunity that cannot be wasted. And we have copies of that editorial for anyone who would like it. Thank you very much.
Aloha, my name is Fu Pham, and I am a resident of the Salt Lake area. I want to first start by saying that I am in favor of the proposed development to create mixed use. I think that's a very good thing. I think we should have more synergy, and we should have greater density. I appreciate the opportunity for the community to be involved through this scoping meeting. With that being said, I would like to see that the EIS includes affordable housing as part of the purpose and need. With the project requiring zoning changes to accomplish the goals, the economic goals for retail and restaurants and entertainment, that's a wonderful thing. But it should also specifically include in the purpose and need our state's need for affordable housing and evaluate that under the socioeconomic impacts of the study. The Halava Area Transit-Oriented Development Plan indicates that we have a need to preserve potential opportunities for new affordable housing. So I'd like to see that the EIS includes, or rather speaks to what the site can hold in terms of a maximum capacity of housing units and how that might change, perhaps a sensitivity analysis on how that changes if you create them as all affordable housing units and don't require that the housing units have parking spaces with them. Because if these are affordable housing units, we can get some of our most vulnerable citizens here in the state to live there without having a car and not impacting the surrounding community with the traffic issues that some of us are worried about. So with that being said, thank you for your time.
We're from Jonathan Maikui, I think it's Maikui. Paul Chun and Sandra Puck.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jonathan Maikui, and I do agree we need affordable housing and not hotels if we're going to build this new stadium. We have enough hotels in Waikiki. Let's keep it down there. If they want to come to the stadium, they can hop on the rail, and they can come and watch the games. I grew up also watching a lot of football games here and also playing football in high school, and I'm gonna miss this stadium, but I also just hope that we can stay within budget, because as we know, like the rail, over budget. So we need to keep this within budget, or if we have a contingency plan for the budget. So yes, I do agree that we should also increase the seating capacity to at least 40,000. Because we've had teams, Alabama came out here several years ago, Iowa. And when we have BYU, Boise State, we also had just recently the preseason, the Cowboys and Rams filled up the stadium. And I know it's not every weekend it's gonna fill, I know that. But we have to look also to those kind of capacity that we can grow. And we should be able to use the stadium parking lot during the weekdays. You know, charge fees for businesses that are in this location. But I also want to talk about the EIS statement, because when we demolish the stadium, do we have the plan to contain all of the chemicals and all whatever lead that is inside this stadium? So I hope we're keeping that in mind too, because safety is a big concern, and we don't want it to go and spread out through the community when they demolish the stadium. Thank you.
Aloha, my name is Paul Chan. I'm also a resident here. I live in Foster Village. I just came out because basically my wife said, you know, you go down there and you tell them something. This is what I want. No, but in any case, I agree with a lot of the people here in regards to the seating. We do need to have more seats. I mean, if we're going to step up to the plate, don't be manini. I mean, you got to talk big time in order to attract, you know, bigger, you know, football teams or whatever the case may be, concerts, etc. But yes, I agree with that 5,000 seat limit. My wife did want me to, I guess, express her concern, like perhaps also include a playground for our keiki that, you know, they can play around and have a safe place to play. And my idea was to create like a mixed community center space where Keiki and Kapuna can have things to do and people can, you know, utilize like space to like practice or do whatever things that they can. So I just wanted it to be put to good use. And of course, like everybody else is mentioning, we do need to take into consideration about homeless people, and like everybody else has mentioned, and I'll mention it again for the record, yes, we should look into maximizing affordable housing for as much as we can. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Sandra Pack, and I'm a resident of Cross Point. I can just walk over here. And I want to say that this venue is not just an entertainment site to be developed. This should be part of the neighborhood where we are raising our families, where people are retiring and enjoying life, being part of the community. And so, one of the things is, can you please address the noise and vibration? Whenever there's a concert or, well, like Bruno Mars, I heard the whole thing in my house. And the noise is so loud that my windows were rattling. So, I don't know, maybe a dome, but it's an entertainment, people enjoy it, but I gotta live here. And so this is not just a place where you all can have a party and just the rest of you just suck it up. I would like it to be where you're inclusive, that, like the guy said, something that's family friendly, where a kupuna can come, where it's part of the neighborhood. And it seems, just driving in the area, it's very car-centric. Can we be more pedestrian and bike-friendly? Can we have more green spaces? Can we have more playgrounds? Traffic control is not about just more parking spaces and bigger lanes. You have to figure out a way to bring people in without their cars. I don't know how you're going to do that, but you got plenty of people, and you can all think about that. How do you do it when you gather people without all the cars? How does it become a family-friendly place where you bring your kids when you're so afraid there's of all these big freeways and highways, and it's just dusty with all the traffic dust. I agree that it should be family-focused neighborhood with affordable housing. I totally agree. And this cannot be another new Kaka'ako where your affordable income was $500,000. I don't know anybody that's an affordable income. Like, that ain't no low income. Anyway, sorry. So can you look at this site as something that adds value to the people of Hawaii, not just for mainland people to come and enjoy the games, or foreign investors to buy, and the last thing is, please answer the email, because I never get any reply. Thank you.
Okay, thank you everybody. Those were the people who clearly indicated. We had some who like marked it, then crossed it out. So if there's anybody who would like to get up, they're inspired. Sir, you look inspired. Are you coming up? Okay, if you can just start to line up against the wall here, you're welcome to come up. Just please clearly state your name so we can have it up front.
To excuse me, but my voice is going in and out. So, my name is Larry Beard. I live in Foster Village. I've lived there since 1972, and I wear two hats tonight. I'm also on the Neighborhood Board 18, which is Foster Village, Salt Lake, and Aliumano. For months, the board has been asking for somebody to come and talk to the community. We get nothing. Now, tonight, it's like, oh, now we got 60 days. If the people that are really wanting to do something with these posters and everything, come to the meeting for IAEA Foster, Neighborhood Board and Foster Village Neighborhood Board. We are the people that are going to be impacted that live in the area. Let me ask you this. How many people here live in the area? Raise your hand. To say about a little over half. That's pretty good. We are the ones that are going to be affected by this. Since 1972, when I first moved here, we've been promised to have Salt Lake Boulevard widened. I know it's a city and county project, but did the state ever step up to the plate and help city and county? No. Now they're saying maybe 3-4 years down the road, Salt Lake Boulevard will be widened. There was a lady that came up earlier, and she mentioned that there was a roadway, was H1 Freeway, Moanalua Road, and she never mentioned Salt Lake Boulevard. But yet when the freeway gets shut down for an accident, Salt Lake Boulevard gets nailed. It's only two lanes, one in each direction, for a mile and a quarter. The city and county has to fix it. Now, I'm going to take that hat off, and I'm going to talk as me, a resident. I don't like this. I don't like C. It brings the stadium too close to Foster Village, where we're going to even get more noise. My house, you can listen to the concert from any concert. I don't care who it is. I can hear it better from my backyard than you can hear it in the stadium. And I have proof of that because my mom went to Michael Jackson, and she said she could hear it better from my backyard than she could from inside the seats. So noise has to be addressed. Traffic has to be addressed. The way Salt Lake Boulevard here at Cam Highway is designed right now for flow, it's terrible. Salt Lake Boulevard should go straight out to Cam Highway, whether you're going left or where you're going right. Wyatt jogs behind now the rail station, I don't know. But if that was taken out, there'd be more area for parking or stuff to be developed for the rail. Make it a straight shot. I think that the Stadium Authority needs to step up to the plate. About 4 years ago, I asked that on Thursday night, once a month, they open up the parking lot to let kids and people come and bicycle so that they're off the road. They don't have to worry about any pedestrians. They don't have to worry about cars, nothing. Well, we can't do that. That was their response. We can't do that. No explanation. We can't do that. This place sits empty 95% of the time, and the community is not allowed to utilize it. There should be programs and entertainment and all kinds of stuff going on in this parking lot at night for the locals that live in the area, not who will come from Hawaii Kai or Waianae or anything, but for the people that live right around here to utilize it. This is a black hole 95% of the time. I mean, look how long it's been since we had, what was that, a monster truck show about a month ago. There hadn't been one here for 20 years because the first one that came in, they didn't make money, so they never came back. I don't know if they made money this time. But this place needs to be utilized. This place needs to be used. There has to be programs that come here for us. And if they do that, it'll make it more exciting and a better place to come to. I'm sorry, but I'm not on the side of low income. We have enough people living in Salt Lake, Aiea, Pearl City. You want to bring thousands and thousands of them more here. Fix the roadway, maybe I would say yes. But even the off-ramp and the way the freeway connects into the stadium, it's jammed up. I mean, the news is, oh, there's a big problem at the stadium because football, the first game of the year, it's all jammed up. Why? Because no one visionizes and thinks ahead and looks to the future and says, we might have 50,000 people come here this time. And it's 49,000 cars because we don't pool, we don't come together, we all come in our own separate vehicles. But there's no visionaries, there are no people that see into the future that says this is what's going to happen, this could happen. And then when it happens, everybody goes, oh, goodness. But, okay, I guess my 2 minutes is up. Okay, thank you.
Hi, my name is Steve Wood. I'm a board member on the IA Neighborhood Board. And to the last gentleman, they did come last board meeting and briefed us on the development plans and all that. So this is kind of, we've seen this before on the IA Neighborhood Board. Can't speak for Salt Lake. So I live about 5 minutes. I mean, I walked over here. And like one of the ladies that was up here previously said, I get free concerts. So I get Bruno Mars, Eagles, Cardi B, that's great, okay? I also get screeching tires on Sundays because the SCCA does their racing over here as well. I like to maintain, I understand the whole entertainment complex and the mixed use, and I'm pro for that. The constituents, though, here in this community have expressed immensely the traffic concerns, and also they've expressed the change in the way the community would be affected, you know, in terms of more transient people coming in and out and those kind of things. So when I'm looking at Plan B, I think that's where you're putting the stadium closer to the rail station that's limiting the amount of transient people we would have coming through the community. That would probably be a good thing. The other thing was density, and I appreciate the fact that you guys came up here and talked about that, because one of the affordable housing is a big issue, and I've actually fought with on the board, IA Neighborhood Board, I actually had pretty good arguments with homeowners in that community that I represent. But the thing was we got to also consider the parking. You know, until that day comes where we don't need cars, we always got to consider parking. And so we got to, even though we want to increase the amount of residential affordable units in that area, we also got to consider the parking that's got to go with that. We just can't sit there and say the rail's the silver bullet for that, because it's not. People are going to have cars. It's just a fact of life for now and for the immediate future. The other thing I just want to touch on, and the last thing I do want to touch on, is a park. Right now, we only have Makalapa Park in that community. There is no playground associated with that park. It is just a basketball court and then open grassland area back there. Having a park in this area here would serve the Crown Point community, would serve the other end of Halava Estates, that's farther away from Makalapa Park. So, I think that would be beneficial too. And that's it. Thank you.
Aloha mai kako. I'm Kimberly Moa. I'm a member of the Aiea Community Association and the Ali'ipuahi Hawaiian Civic Club. I'm also a kia'i at Loko Paiao, and I sit on the board of a nonprofit at the Loko, at the Lo'i at Ka'onohi near Pearl Ridge. I think I support all of the statements about affordable housing and, you know, alleviating traffic concerns. The one thing I haven't heard yet is the need for affordable retail spaces for a lot of the local businesses in this area, which are already going to be pushed out of the spaces they currently are in because of the TOD plans in Pearl Highlands and, like, around Pearl Ridge area. So, and that's one of the things that I love about this community is all the longtime family-owned businesses. I think also the need for community spaces within that mixed use, places where kupuna can have like a daycare, where keiki can have daycare, where, like, you know, people can have community meetings, where we really don't have a lot of places where there's green space for keiki to play. I have to get in a car and drive to a park that is not occupied by homeless in order for my, to walk around with my daughter. So those are some of the needs that I identify. And then also just as these projects are coming up in our area and along the rail, looking at sites that are already cultural and significant and natural resources, like Halava Stream is gonna run right through this area. What are gonna be some of the gives backs to the community to help, like, there's a big need to dredge some of the streams in the area so that there's continuous flow and not all this debris building up. So there's multiple streams that are, like, gonna be touched by this. Also, you know, part of our restoration of Loko Paiao is that a lot of the water is being diverted from Ka'onohi Springs and going to different areas when we need it right here for some of those, like, projects that are of real value to our community. So, mahalo.
Sorry, kind of short, but. Well, my name is Paul Lay. I'm one of the vendors at the Aloha Stadium Swap Meet. And I'm here to supposedly advocate for the Swap Meet vendors because this is one of the venues that we earn a living, and there's like 600-700 of us that, you know, depend on this place to make a living. And so that's supposedly my main reason to come up here and speak, but I would like to take a different perspective. I would like to advocate for the tourists, because I, as a vendor, I meet a lot of people daily, come from all over the world. And one of the main concerns that people talk to me is that Hawaii has changed so much. You have people that came here 20 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, They hardly recognize the place. And they're saying that, you know, we have so much building now that they'd rather go to Kauai or Maui, you know, places that they can still see a little bit of the old Hawaii, right? So we used to have a place called the International Marketplace where you have a lot of small shop, you know. People strike a bargain, you know, maybe they hassle a little bit, but it's fun. You know, the tourists come here, they look for that, right? And if you have a big family back home or you have like a lot of co-worker who like demand something from Hawaii, right? Where do you go buy it? You know, you go to ABC, you're gonna end up broke. You know what I mean? You probably stay in the hotel and hardly have any money for any other activities around the state. So International Marketplace used to be that place. Now, but that is nothing compared to the Aloha Stadium. Because as you all know, International Marketplace is at least 50% more than the prices that we offer at the Aloha Stadium, right? So the Aloha Stadium is actually a big attraction to the tourists. I mean, it's more popular with the tourists than with the locals. I have friends who live in Hawaii Kai or even Kaimuki. They hardly come to the stadium. You know, the last time they've been to the flea market is like 3 years ago, 5 years ago, right? And everybody, even the first-time tourists who come to the state, they know about this place because it's been advertised by word of mouth. You know, I don't know how they find out, but they seem to know that this is a place that you can come and get a bargain. And if you want to get like 20 gifts or people back home, at least you can still have some money left. So it's good that we need to build shiny high rises and shopping mall and all that, you know, and it's good. It serves the local community. But, you know, as a small state, we don't have industry. You know, we depend on the tourism to the tourists to come here. So tourism is a big draw to our community and to our economy. And, you know, the more we turn it into Las Vegas or any of the big city, the more we're going to lose that attraction of old Hawaii. You know, the more that people come here, they find out, oh, you know, it's just similar to where they just came from. And, you know, there's no relaxation, there's no, you know what I mean? And another thing is that Hawaii is unique because of the weather that we have. You know, it's moderate weather all year round. So for outdoor activity, for outdoor market, it's perfect. You can't even do that in California. It has to be indoor, you know, so it's totally different. So, you know, we have the rail that's being built, right? Nobody knows how it's going to turn out, right? It might be a really quiet rail, but it's also might be very noisy. So we have that, we have to find out. So I would like to urge that, you know, if the stadium can be fixed, then it's good. We save some money instead of building the new one. But if the new one is being built, I would urge that it, you know, we keep it close to the same configuration that we have now, so at least we can maintain the outdoor Aloha Stadium flea market that, you know, is not only provide a venue for the living for a lot of people, but also attraction to the tourists. So I'm sorry, I'm going a little bit overboard, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sir, did you sign in? Did you sign in when you came? Okay, yeah, so just if we can get your name. No, it's fine. That's absolutely fine. Just want to make sure we get your name. Okay, anyone else? This is your chance. So what happens is once we're done with this part, we do turn off the court. Okay, come on, Berta.
Okay, that's good. Hello, everybody. My name is Roscoe Kalili Kane. I've been at Swap Meet for 32 years. I put my son to school. I put my kids to school. And if you know about Swap Meet, I kind of pretty known. Like Kingsford, Polynesian designs, even football designs. My whole story over here is that I just hope that the new stadium accommodate Aloha Swap Meet. Aloha Swap Meet is maybe the number three attraction to this island. Anywhere I go, they either first they like come for the weather, then they like come holo, and then the third they like come Swap Meet. The fourth, they're like, come see me. Rala, where your designs at? Because I come with original Polynesian designs. I keep it Hawaiian, Samoan, even though Micronesians come in. But my whole thing is this, that I just hope that building a new stadium, which is option A, you guys don't run away from us. Because I know at one point, we took care of rent for the stadium. When Lingua went to audit this place, they found out that only Swap Meet was taking care the stadium, and then all these other venues came in, flag football, all these other events, now the stadium active. But if you go back to the beginning, it was a Aloha Swap Meet, you know? So I just hope when you guys creating, you guys don't put us out in a back burner, because now I get one warehouse and I don't know where for sale other than this. And my motivation to the Swap Meet is that when all the Kanakas, they come to me, I tell them, come and set up at the Swap Meet. If you like B, create your own design. Come and set up at the Swap Meet. Do what you do here and then go somewhere else with something else. You don't need stores at the Swap Meet. We know what came out already. Paris get open stores. No need store over here. We need maybe the kupunas to come out here with the kikis and a good playground. We need a good area where we can enjoy this whole stadium. Plus, we got to have Aloha Swap Meet. This is the number one. Okay? Mahalo.
Did you sign in? Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, so if just the two sirs, I couldn't find you on our list, so just please sign in so we have your name. Anyone else? Okay, so what we're going to do then is we're going to stop the recording. It doesn't mean the meeting's over. Like I said, we're all still around and available. But I want to thank all of you. That was fantastic. So give yourselves a big round of applause. And then I'm just for this formal closing of this portion, like I said, we'll all be here. I'm just going to have Julie Poulet to close it.
Pule ho kako. E nā kua nā mā kua nā kupuna mahalo nui kia halawai a me ke kuka kuka ana pū me ke kahi e ke kahi. E puka aku kako, I kō kako mauhale me ka mālie e malama nui mai a mā kua apau. Mahalo.